Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Godrej Consumer Products Limited Q2 FY25 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to the GCPL team. Thank you, and over to you.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to the investor call for Godrej Consumer Products Limited. For GCPL, we will have Mr. Sudhir Sitapati and Mr. Ashish Malpani. We will start with opening remarks by Sudhir. Following that, we will go into Q&A. Now, I welcome Sudhir for his opening remarks.
Thanks, Vishal. Good evening, everyone. GCPL has had a good quarter given the headwinds of oil costs and tough consumer demand in India. Our standalone India business grew 7% volume, 7% value, and EBITDA was flat. Our standalone EBITDA at 24.3% is at the lower end of our targeted band of mid-20s and is caused entirely by high inflation on palm oil. The already high prices were further exacerbated by the import duty on oil. We think this is a short-term hit, and we will recover the margin through judicious price increases and stabilizing of costs over the next few quarters. Despite margin headwinds, we have not and will not cut media investments. Despite a drop in margins, we have held our A&P at 11.6%. In fact, if you include rural van operations, which gets captured in overhead, we have in fact increased our brand investments by 100 basis points. As it has been our practice in the past, we will not compromise on the quality of our products by reducing TFM in soaps. We have been asked several questions by analysts on structuring of soaps, and while we do not comment on competitor actions, it may be worthwhile for me to spend a few minutes on our own view on structuring of soaps. Bathing bars as a category was introduced by the BIS in 1992. That's almost 32 years ago. It allowed reduction of TFM with a partly compensatory addition of synthetic surfactants. A bathing bar reduces not just insoluble fatty matter, which is used for structuring and not for cleaning, but also good soluble fatty matter. When the total math on surfactancy is done, a bathing bar cannot technically equal a grade one soap in cleaning, lather, and soap mash. A change in quality of the filler may improve peripheral sensorials, but it doesn't change this basic science and chemistry. In benign conditions, consumers may not notice when you reduce TFM and add structurants, but in difficult circumstances like hard water, consumers do notice. For the last 30 years, we have known of structuring technologies, but we have stayed away from the temptation of the bathing bar category. From 2-3% share in the early 1990s, GCPL in volume terms is now in the high teens, and this has largely been in our assessment because of consistent adherence to quality standards. We are not going to revisit this strategy now just because palm oil prices are inflated. The inflated palm oil prices, coupled with our view on ATL and quality, means that our overall margins and volume growths may be range-bound for the next couple of quarters. But we are sure that if we can continue to hold on to this high single-digit volume growth, despite soaps volumes being under pressure, and I'll talk about why soaps volumes will be under pressure, EBITDA growth will follow in a few quarters. I must add that high single-digit volume growth during a period of low soap growth, we grew volumes in soap even this quarter, but it is testimony to the strength of the rest of our portfolio. Particularly noteworthy are the continued growth of air care, the rapid scale-up of laundry, incense sticks, and sexual wellness. Indonesia continued its steady performance with 7% volume, 9% revenue, and 17% EBITDA growth, driven by the core categories of air care and household insecticide. GAUM continued to have a weak top-line quarter but an exceptional bottom-line quarter. Organic volumes declined 8%, value declined 10%, but our reported EBITDA and Forex grew at 33%. Our GAUM margins are now 14.5%. On the back of macroeconomic stability returning in Argentina, our LATAM business performed well, with 50% UVG, 46% USG, and double-digit EBITDA margin. On both GAUM and LATAM, we are reasonably bullish that some kind of structural change in margins seem to be underway. Our overall growth was 5% organic UVG, 5% organic USG, 8% reported EBITDA, and 12% reported PAT. Our relaunch of HI with RNF molecule is showing clear green shoots in incense sticks and coils, which were launched a few quarters earlier. We are waiting for the results on electrics, which may take a quarter or two for it to be visible. And as we speak, we are going in with a better molecule on aerosol. At the end of this month, our entire portfolio would have been revamped with superior formulations. Overall, we feel that we have stuck to our strategy of holding high single-digit volume growth in India and Indonesia and structurally improving profitability in international markets. We will continue to play on this strategy while volatility in palm oil prices plays out over the next few quarters. Wishing you and your family a very happy Diwali. Thank you so much.
Priyo, we can now move to the Q&A part of this call.
Sure. Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask questions may press star and one on the touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking questions. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. First question is from the line of Abneesh Roy from the Nuvama Institutional Equities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks. Congrats on the 7% volume growth in India. My first question is on the clear green shoots, which you mentioned in the incense stick and in the coils. Could you elaborate on that? And is it more in the rural India where anyway FMCG is seeing reasonable consumption revival? So how much is it because of the consumption revival? And in the urban India, in the slums, in the lower end of the population, also are you seeing a decent recovery, not just in incense stick and coils? If you could comment on urban India slowdown in rest of the two, three categories.
I mean, look, as you correctly said, we are seeing a slight bit of reversal in the sense that rural is now growing at 2x of urban. But our urban has still grown reasonably well, and both coils and incense sticks have grown very well in urban as well. In fact, on coils, you know, we didn't launch RNF across the country. We launched it only in some parts of the country 2 quarters ago for a variety of reasons. But what we are seeing is that the parts of the country where we launched RNF is doing better than the parts of the country that hasn't. I think that is pretty encouraging for us for RNF. It has taken 6 months though. So given the fact that we launched electrics in July, we are hoping that by Q4 we will see results in electrics. There's also this thing, to be honest, last quarter we had reasonably good seasonality on HI as well. So there are a little bit of compounding factors, but I would say that the green shoots we're seeing are secular across urban and rural, but I wouldn't call victory yet, Abneesh, on this.
And second is, of course, your pricing in incense stick is competitive, but what we generally see is the illegal segment offers more trade margins, trade discounts. So is that a problem given Kirana overall income levels are under stress? So they obviously will prioritize something which gives them more trade commission.
Yeah, Abneesh, what we've noticed is that the basic trick here is direct distribution. So when we looked at our shares of incense stick last month, we were roughly about 5% share in incense stick. It was only 10% weighted value distribution of incense stick, but 50% market share in outlets where we've distributed. So in the case of incense stick, it's just a hard job of making sure that the product gets placed in an outlet. And once a product gets placed in an outlet, typically he keeps two products. One, we suspect, will be a branded product, which will be us, and one perhaps is an unbranded product, which is higher margins. And this is how we think it will play. So our single-minded focus on incense sticks is to double and treble distribution, because as we double and treble distribution, our market shares will keep going up. As things stand today, we don't have much wholesale demand. So we've done well in incense stick despite wholesale, but wholesale typically takes a year to come because first demand gets bailed, retailers demand it, you have to advertise it. So, I mean, we anyway are not going to play that kind of trade game. We're going to play a consumer game on incense stick.
Sure. My second question is on the India soaps. So this quarter, both the top two players have seen weak volumes here. So second is there is an urban slowdown across almost every consumption category, not just FMCG. There is slowdown everywhere. So now, when you say that next two quarters, volume growth for you in soaps will be soft, and I think market leader is also saying almost similar, although they are saying that recovery of the new disruption will take one or two quarters. It's not a specific comment on slowdown. Is soaps now a flattish kind of volume growth for the industry? Because see, now price growth is happening. Whenever price growth happens, top two players always gain market share. So in that context, shouldn't your market growth in soaps also revive?
I think, see, value share, value growth will revive, Abneesh, because this has a little bit to do with bases and so on and so forth. Sequentially, for the last two quarters, we've taken pretty sharp increases in soaps. What we see when we take sharp increases, see, soap volumes for the category tend to be in the two to three range. What we see when you take sharp increases in the short term, volumes fall. They may even become negative for a quarter or two. Then, because consumption doesn't really fall, people don't really reduce number of baths, pipelines thin down when you take up prices, volumes recover. So, I mean, this quarter, I must tell you that we grew volumes on soaps. It's not that we didn't grow volumes on soaps. We both grew volumes, value share, volume share, all of it we've done quite well on soaps. But from past experience, I know that when you cut grammage, when you take up prices, there's an immediate effect on pipelines. So there will be a little bit more pressure on soaps, but we hope that the other parts of the portfolio compensate for it, and we roughly remain around this kind of volume growth.
Sir, last quick question on the premiumization of the portfolio and the liquid detergent disruption which you have done. It could share some data points in some of the key markets where liquid detergent has been quite successful. And in terms of premiumization, would you be worried given the urban slowdown? Or in fact, premium continues to do quite well, if you could comment on that.
So our laundry liquids, we are very happy with our internal performance on laundry liquids. We have, after many years, because we were essentially Ezee was a winter detergent, and we were losing share. It was a specialist detergent. We started gaining share in liquid detergents. We are performing well ahead of our expectations on liquid detergents. It is a pretty big volume driver. It will only increasingly be so, which is what gives me confidence that we may be at this level of volumes, despite soaps becoming slightly negative, is what I expect it to be for this quarter, maybe again zero next quarter. But we still expect it because, laundry detergent has done extremely well. I don't really feel comfortable right now sharing market share data, etc., except for the fact that we're gaining share and doing very well across markets.
So thanks, sir. That's all from my side. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from Vivek Maheshwari from Jefferies. Please go ahead.
Hi. Good evening, Sudhir and team. My first question is on HI again. On the Elvite, Sudhir, so you are expanding it into across different geographies. In the geographies or regions where you've expanded so far, have you done consumer checks in terms of whether the consumer is noticing that the product efficacy is far better than what it was in the past? Can you just talk about any of the feedbacks that you have from the ground?
Look, Vivek, our feedback is generally we launched LV in July. We've also done reasonably well on LV in this quarter, but to be fair, it's also been a good monsoon, and normally when the monsoons are bad, we let you guys know. So, I mean, it is not fair for us to read into this quarter on the performance of LV, because these things, to really read it, you have to take 6 months. We have done lots of store and consumer checks. We are very pleased with the consumer feedback on it. Consumers are able to notice the difference, as they will. It's a technical category. So we are very hopeful and bullish on this, but I would say we'll have to just wait it out in all humility till probably Q4 for us to give you a picture on whether it's working or not. Right now, we can say that incense stick is going as per plan, and it is a pretty significant volume driver for us, and it will remain so for the next couple of years.
Okay. Got it. Got it. And on the other note, you have written fairly, or rather, you have also explained fairly well on your position on the soap bit. But just one quick thing. So you mentioned about the quality part, but is it that the fillers can help from a sensorial perspective in any way? Sorry, if it's a naive question, but I just want to be clear. The quality part understood, but sensorial part, do you think filler can do better job than, what you have?
So, I mean, look, filler technology can do a less worse job than it was in the past. That is possible. You can have a filler that can kind of mask the impact of a filler. That is possible. What do the sensorial consumers look for in soaps? It's a simple category, right? They're looking for lather as a measure of clean. They're looking for fragrance. They're looking for long-lasting, and the soap shouldn't sog and mush. On these three fundamental things, a filler can't do anything. It's a filler at the end of the day. Now, if you put a filler which is not very good, that can have a negative impact. So a better filler can have less negative impact than a worse filler. But on these three fundamental attributes, how can a filler make an impact?
Got it. And two really small questions. First is on the, you mentioned about rural versus urban for HI. When you look at the entire portfolio, can you just summarize your views on both the markets?
Sorry, what was that? Vivek, I missed you for a second. What was the question again? Just ask again.
Sorry, what I'm saying is on HI, you mentioned about rural versus urban. When you look at the overall portfolio, are those comments relevant for the portfolio as a whole? Or is there anything else that you want to add between for rural versus from rural versus urban?
See, rural has done better for us than urban, as seems to be the general commentary from a lot of companies. We have also driven rural, as I said, almost 100 bits of margin. We have invested in a massive rural van operation program, and that is yielding results. So I don't know how much of this is natural rural growth, how much of it is induced by us. But across the portfolio, it is true that rural is doing better for us. It's growing at 2x of urban, roughly.
Okay, and is that also because urban has moderated? That is also the reason, and rural has picked up as has been highlighted by some of the peers of yours.
See, I think in our case, I won't say urban has moderated. I would say rural has picked up. See, if you look at the composition of 7% growth and leave soaps aside, because soaps varies depending on palm oil prices between -2 volume and +4, +5 volume. So if you leave soaps aside, which is 35% of our portfolio, let's say roughly just about growing, the balance part of our portfolio has accelerated its growth to 10. So when we have a time of benign palm oil prices and volumes go up on soaps as well, what I've been saying from the beginning, which is we have to inch as a business towards double-digit volumes. At least in the non-soap portfolio, we've gone there. So I would generally say it's frankly been an improved performance for us compared to our base rates in most categories.
Okay. And the last bit, other expenses in standalone are at 20%. One of the reasons is the vans bit that you highlighted. Anything else in that line item?
No, I think it's mainly the vans, which is a very large investment that is being made, which is coming in other expense. Am I right,
Got it. Thank you and wish you all the best.
Thanks.
Thank you. The next question is from Percy Panthaki from IIFL Securities. Please go ahead.
Hi. My first question is on pricing. It's in two parts. So one is on HI, the volume growth is a mid-single digit. Is the value growth also the same or is it higher by some amount? That's part A. Part B is in soaps, while sequentially there is some price increases, on a YOY basis, is the pricing positive or negative in soaps? And how do we see this going ahead, like in Q3 or Q4, on a YOY basis, will the pricing turn materially positive and that can sort of boost the overall top line of the company?
Yeah, I think to answer your first question, we have some price growth on household insecticides. So our value growth is higher than our volume growth there. In the case of soaps, we have taken sequential price hikes and because of the nature of it, it's not visible. It is positive pricing this quarter also, but it's just about. Next quarter or this quarter onward, we will see significant price growth and next quarter will be even higher. So we do expect if we can continue this volume growth or even slightly lower, in this kind of 6-8% volume range, we will see pretty significant price growths in the second half. And we will probably see growths in past the double digits, probably bordering on the teens in the second half.
Got it. Understood. Secondly, on HI, I wanted to understand, see, despite seasonally favorable sort of factors, the volume growth is around 5%. So, I mean, how should we look at this category now? Because let's say the seasonal impact here is huge. In the past, where the season has been bad, the negative impact has been as high as 5 to 10%. So, positive impact, even if I assume it's a, let's say, 3 to 5% seasonally positive impact, that's a 0 to 2% kind of growth in absence of the seasonality. So what is really wrong with this category? Because we have always maintained that this is a category which penetration is low, premiumization we can do, etc. And now we have put in so many initiatives. We have democratized the HIT liquid at a much smaller size. The HI also we had launched at a much smaller size. Now we have done incense stick, we are rolling out the new molecule, etc. And still if the growth is only 2% ex seasonality, I mean, is this an attractive category or how should we look at it? It's just general consumer slowdown which is pulling it down.
No, not consumer slowdown. See, I mean, it's difficult to say. This has not been a massively seasonal quarter or anything like that. Some slight seasonality is there compared to last year. Typically the one that, you know, really affects us is this Q3, Q4. So there's slight seasonality in this quarter. I would say that this category has been growing 1-2% steadily. I would add 1-2% on account of seasonality and about 2% on account of incense sticks. So I would say that, I mean, that's, it's really hard for me, Percy, to say how much is seasonal, how much is not. I would say that mid-single digit volumes and near double digit value in HI is progress. And I think these numbers have to get better every quarter once you start seeing electrics, etc., starting to perform. So I would say that that's how we should look at it. We're actually quite happy with the HI numbers this quarter.
Got it. Lastly, on the international business, Africa has done very well with 30% plus EBITDA growth and margins are also up to 14 to 15%. What is your sort of medium-term margin target here? Are you looking at a 17-18% or is it something else? And on Indonesia, what is driving the top line or the volume growth there? Is it the distribution expansion in general trade which is doing it? Is it some portfolio expansion or what is really the main driver here?
I think in Africa, we're running roughly little short of 15% margin this quarter. We'll inch it to the high teens. See, then, you know, once you get businesses in FMCG, you know, bordering on the high teens, bordering on 20, then you can single-mindedly focus on growth. So I would say that there's still some scope on Africa to probably expand margins over the next year or two. And that will still be our priority over the next few years. And then probably move to top line once we've structurally corrected the margins. We've also benefited a little bit in Africa by a little bit more stable macroeconomic situation this year compared to last year. So, and I hope this kind of stays for some time. Indonesia is like India, a pretty good economy. We are present in two categories which are still quite underpenetrated. So I would say execution, both in terms of distribution, but also increasing media spend, that is driving these categories. So 7% volume growth in an economy that's growing at 4-5% in two categories is, you know, is what we should consistently get in Indonesia.
Got it, Sudhir. Thanks. That's all from me. All the best.
Thank you. Before we take the next question, a reminder to participants that you may press star and one to join the question queue. Next question is from Karthik Chilappa from Indus Capital Advisors. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity, sir. I have two questions.
Karthik, we can barely hear you. If you could please come closer to the mic.
Yeah, am I audible right now? Is it clear?
Yes, Karthik, we can hear you.
Okay, great. Just two questions from my side. The first one is on the channel mix. So if you were to break down the 7% volume growth across, let's say, general trade, e-commerce stroke, quick commerce, and probably modern trade as well as direct distribution, how will that growth rate look like?
See, I mean, look, the general truth, which is I think true for everybody, is, and let's do the math, right? As I said, rural is growing twice of urban. Within urban, you know, both modern trade and organized trade are growing. I mean, e-commerce are growing in the 20s. Their salience of urban may roughly be a third. So there's definitely pressure on urban GT, which I think is across. I mean, urban GT is now facing a double whammy because partly by the disruption of quick commerce and partly by the slowing of pressures on urban consumption. I would say urban GT is the one that is having a tough time.
Yeah, so my question basically was on urban GT. From a point of view of urban GT ROI, are there any other special initiatives that you need to take incrementally to make it more viable, or has that adjustment already been done for our portfolio? Hello?
We seem to have lost the line for the management. Please stay connected while we reconnect the management. Thank you. We have the management reconnected. Over to you, sir.
Yeah. What I was asking is, with reference to your point on the pressure on urban GT, are there any incremental initiatives that we need to take to improve the ROI, or has that by and large been done for our portfolio?
You mean the ROI of GT distributors?
Yes, yes.
Yeah, I mean, look, we have to certainly consolidate, manage the efficiencies. You know, urban GT, very little we can do about channel growth. We have to just make sure that our partners are happy. We have to try and keep rates balanced between urban GT and organized trade. We have to keep stocks in relative control. So I guess these are the kind of way to drive for efficiency in urban GT, because while it's doing badly, it still remains a very large part of our business.
Okay, got it. My last question is basically on HI. So assuming the current demand conditions hold and let's say they stay where they are, and in one or two quarters, if our LV distribution is complete, what kind of volume growth can we expect?
See, I mean, this category honestly should grow on the high single digit volumes. So, you know, it has traditionally been in the low single digit volumes. This quarter we've done mid single digits, maybe some season, maybe not. And, you know, for us to call it successful, we have to have a few quarters of a high single digit volume growth. Then we'll say, look, this is the potential of this business. Couple of percent of pricing and kind of double digit, or, you know, 11-12% growth is what we should aim for this business. We are kind of on that path. We are just short of double digit value growth this quarter. Another couple of percent we should get, as first LV and then aerosol as well, we are relaunching, they start to pick up.
Got it. Okay. Thank you very much for these inputs, and wish the team all the very best for the rest of the year. That's all from me.
Thank you. Next question is from Rishi Modi from Marcellus Investment Managers. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hi, Sudhir. Can you hear me?
Yes.
So Sudhir, my first question on the soaps front, on a QOQ basis, have we had volume growth or have we seen a volume decline?
We have seen volume growth, but not by very much.
Okay. And
which we, by the way, think is significantly higher in the market. Huh?
Okay, so you're saying the secondary is higher than the primary sales?
That is also the case, but even our primaries are higher than, whatever we see around Nielsen, whatever we hear, we are certainly performing well.
All right. On the RCCL portfolio, right? So I remember when you acquired it, you said distribution will be the first leg in which you'll get the portfolio ramped up. So in terms of the number of distribution outlets or the count, how much has it increased post your rate of acquisition? I remember you all were like 30% below Winnie Cosmetics distribution and 25% of GCPL distribution. So today, where are we?
So, you know, on RTCL, I think I mentioned in the last call, we've got some things right and some things wrong. We've got the things that you've got right. Our sexual wellness is doing very well. Our deodorants and organized trade is doing well. In rural, there has been significant increase in distribution. In urban general trade, we made a few missteps in distribution. And in several states, we are now reverting back to a specific channel for deodorants, which we did in the last quarter. So I would say that there's still a little bit of work to be done in RCCL. As a consequence, we will probably be slightly short of the EBITDA number that we had promised at the end of this year. We had promised, I think, somewhere around, and we'll probably come back to you at the end of the year with exactly what's happening in RCCL. We acquired this business, if I'm not mistaken, with about 70 crores of EBITDA. We had said we will do about 145, 150 crores of EBITDA at the end of this year. We may be slightly short of that. Not massively short, but we may be short of that.
All right. On the hair color front, I saw you all posted double-digit growth. So just wanted to understand, is it the primary sales and the secondary sales will take off in the marriage season or the festive season, or even the secondary sales is double-digit?
No, I think secondary is also double-digit. In general, secondaries have been ahead of primaries in this quarter for us.
And so because like even, so if you could explain why is it double-digit, like because no other marriage-linked consumption has shown strong growth in this quarter. So I'm just trying to understand.
Last year what had happened is there was a double Shravan month, so we're lapping a relatively low base.
Okay, all right, understood.
The unique month, normally in Shravan people don't color their hair in the West. Last year we had two Shravan months, so that was a low hair color base. And so on that we did well.
Alright, so like it's a one-off benefit or a base effect rather than a longer term trend. So
yeah, but I mean it's, yes, certainly it's a higher hair color than usual. But as I told you, secondaries are higher, so we may, on the long term, we may be slightly lower than what we are this quarter.
Understood. And finally, on the Africa business, I heard you targeting high teens EBITDA margin. Is this going to be on the existing portfolio, or are you going to sell off or shut down a few more businesses and hence get to that margin? Or any plans of selling off any more of the Africa businesses?
Yeah. So hi, Asif here. So no, I think we've done whatever geography restructuring has been largely completed. There are certain other projects which we believe we'll be able to deliver to drive efficiencies in terms of supply chain and other projects. Those will kind of happen, but nothing on the grounds of what we had kind of done in the past. So to kind of come to the straight answer, it will be on the existing business. We will obviously add more levers to growth like FMCG brands as part of this.
Okay, all right. Yeah, that's it from my end. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from Amit Purohit from Elara Capital. Please go ahead. Amit Purohit from Elara Capital, you may go ahead.
Hello.
Yeah.
Hello. Yeah. Thank you for the opportunity, sir. I just wanted to understand on the soap category a bit better. What would be the share of these regional or unorganized brands in the overall category? And assuming that these players may not be the grade one soaps, what has been their response as of now in terms of given the palm oil prices have gone up? So just one, but that's the first part of the question. And do you think there is a likelihood of an increased competitive intensity from them as well as the leader is also looking at very aggressive pricing and all? So just wanted to know your thoughts on this.
No, I mean the regional players over the last 15, 20 years in soaps have come down. I don't know the exact number, but I think they're sub 10% now and they're not what they used to be 10, 15 years ago. The category has now mainly become the national players.
Sure.
And in any case, even this, you know, during high palm oil prices, they tend to become smaller and smaller. So it is generally in high palm oil prices, branded players gain market share.
Right. Okay. And they would have also taken price increases as of now.
They would have, but normally what happens is that they don't enter the market, lots of local players, when palm oil prices get raised. So they just don't manufacture. Because they buy noodles and kind of pack. If the price goes up, then, you know, their working capital and all goes up. So that becomes an issue.
And in the interior markets of, say, probably in north or so region, there the salience would be slightly higher, right?
Mainly the central belt is where they're strong, and Chhattisgarh is where they've traditionally been strong, and in and around those parts of the country.
Okay. And sir, second question on HI, what was the value growth? You talked about mid-single digit volume growth, so just...
Yeah, we've got a couple of percent pricing, so it's bordering on double digit.
Okay, and is there price increase has been in the later part of the quarter, and hence probably some more benefits we will see in the coming quarters from a pricing perspective?
Yeah, I think we will see. See, in steady state, we will see some kind of pricing growth in household insecticide as well.
Okay.
So, you know, 3-4% we should see every year.
Sure. Thank you. That's it.
Thank you. Next question is from Nihal Mahesh Shah from Ambit. Please go ahead.
Yes, hi, good evening, sir. A couple of questions. First, in case of RNF, you did highlight about the importance of scaling distribution. Would it be fair to say that, you know, improving customer awareness of the superior efficacy is a key driver to gain market share and improve the growth? And how are we approaching this?
Yes, it is. So we have a new piece of, we have a very compelling claim which is around, lasts for 2 hours after the electricity goes off. And we have been spending a lot of mass media over September advertising it towards the end of August, September. Typically we wait for a month after launching it. So, and we will continue to invest heavily on this so that we can build awareness of the new product.
Understood that. Second question was for Indonesia. We've seen a large competitor there obviously getting impacted because of route to market issues. Just in our case, would our initiatives in terms of getting our route to market sorted is more or less done and dusted with?
Yeah, I think so. I think we've had a very successful transition from branch to RD in Indonesia, and I think it's yielding us rich results in terms of distribution.
Sure, sir. That's it from my side. Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from Harit Kapoor from Investec. Please go ahead.
Just one question on the margin. So, you know, you spoke on the soaps, you know, cost pressures. I just wanted to know, in India or internationally, is there any other pocket of RM-led cost pressure that you are currently, you know, facing, or it's largely okay, you know, marginal pricing should take care of it?
I think it's largely palm oil only. There was last quarter a little bit on shipping and all, but I think that's been sorted out now. But largely, I would say the inflation is on palm oil. Very recently, actually, with this import duty on palm oil, there's been a very sharp increase. But generally, palm oil is the problem this year.
Even outside India, there's no other kind of large...
No, there's nothing outside India, which is why margins are very good outside India. Profitability is generally good, so there is no major inflation.
Got it. That was my only question. Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from Jay Doshi from Kotak. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hi. Thanks for the opportunity. My question is on soaps. Now, you know, you've decided not to adopt the structuring technology, whereas the market leader has gone ahead with it. So, you know, if we leave aside the current inflationary environment in palm oil and assume that palm oil prices normalize during the course of next 6 to 12 months. Even then, you know, the market leader would potentially have ability to offer more grammage per their soap versus what it used to be in the past, which may result in widening of price gap between your product and theirs. Do you think, you know, that would still, you know, with that kind of equation, you'd still be able to gain market share or hold market share like you've been in the past? Or you would like to maintain the price gap as it has always been, and which probably means that you may operate at a slightly lower margin, you know, on a more, even in the medium term basis?
No, I mean, look, over the last several years, we have gradually been taking the relative price index of our soaps compared to the market up, and we have only continued to gain volume and value share. So gradually our brands are becoming stronger, you know, so our general strategy is to give the right value to consumers, what we think is the right quality, to, you know, command the margins, invest in building brands and get onto that virtuous cycle. That fundamentally doesn't change, our view doesn't change. It's not like our relative price index to the market has remained stagnant over the last 5 years. It has gradually gone up, in fact, pretty significantly over the last few years, and hasn't had any detriment to either volumes or value relative to the market. So I think we will be determined by a principle of strengthening, gradually taking our prices as our brand strengthens, giving what we think is the best quality to consumers, doing what's right by consumers, and slightly divorced from what others do.
Understood. That's helpful. Second is, could you give us some more color on, you know, the progress in laundry detergent and the roadmap over the next 12 months? You've expanded in new markets ahead of your original timeline. You know, can you offer some more color on what we should expect in the next?
No, I mean, look, laundry liquid is a really exciting category, growing really fast. It's going to be one of the largest FMCG categories. And I think now with Fab and Genteel, along with, of course, Easy, which was already a big player, we have three brands in the portfolio, and we are going to play laundry liquid seriously. We were the pioneers in laundry liquid, and we would, you know, we are going to play this aggressively. This category, I mean, Easy is a high margin player, but this category may be margin dilutive. We'll have to find ways of funding it in the rest of the portfolio. So, but this will be a growth driver for us going forward, as it is. It surprised us this year itself, but I think it will continue to be a big growth driver for us.
Sure. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Next question is from Sheila Rathi from Morgan Stanley. Please go ahead.
Thanks for taking my question. Sudhir, just wanted to understand this better with respect to your comment on, you know, rural growth being 2x urban growth. In terms of category salience, fair to say that soaps, hair color, and maybe now even incense sticks would be the key driver of rural growth? Or is there any other category which has done specifically well for us in this quarter?
No, I think most categories in terms of volumes have done well. Air continues to do well. PAKS in terms of volumes continues to do well. Slightly below our expectations, but nonetheless it's done well. Laundry liquid does extremely well for us. Hair color has done really well. So, and household insecticide has done moderately well for us. And soaps has been a little bit, not disappointing, but what is to be expected in high inflationary times. So I think a combination of these put together, Magic has done well for us. So combination of these has given us pretty good numbers.
And historically, Sudhir, what would have been the salience of certain categories in rural? I mean, is the mix changing for us?
Yeah, I mean, I do feel like GCPL's portfolio, except for soaps, is a rural forward category. In the sense, we've traditionally been under-indexed in rural. And the time has come for us to really expand our rural distribution. So we have put 100 BPS of margins, I think I spoke to you in the analyst call as well, to almost, I think, increase a couple of, I think we're now touching 60,000 more villages and I think 200,000 outlets. So massive rural distribution increase. Again, this is costing us. It's not wildly profitable in year one and two. But we do believe that our portfolio, household insecticide, hair color, creme, air, all of these laundry liquids, all of these are at tipping point in rural. So we're quite happy with the fact that rural markets are back and we will play this game aggressively in rural now.
So this is going to continue for us now, I mean, even going ahead.
Yes.
Just second question was on incense sticks. You know, you talked about our market share being 50% and stores where we are.
Not 50, Sheila. I said that our market share is 5. Our distribution is 10. So in the outlets where we are distributed, our market share is 50.
Yeah, absolutely. So what is the distribution reach currently and what is our interim target?
We have to exponentially, firstly, we have to do direct distribution and complete the job on direct distribution. Then, you know, we've got to get wholesale to buy. That will take some time. So there will be, over the next 6 months, we will saturate direct distribution. Then once we saturate direct distribution, you know, we'll have to wait for demand to pick up and then rural will really, see, 3/4 of distribution in this category will come through wholesale. So at the end of the day, whatever we do, we'll get a 1/4 distribution directly. So that 10% distribution we can move it directly to 20 or 25. Then to go to high numbers, we'll have to wait for wholesale, which will pick up. There's a method in this.
Any markets in specific we are focusing here?
No, I'm saying across the country, Incensex is doing well, Sheila. Initially, it was not so well in the south, but now it's picked up in the south. So across the country, Incensex is a big category.
Okay. Another question was on QC, quick commerce. Do we have a separate, and what part of our portfolio is doing well on QC, or have we created a separate portfolio for quick commerce? How are we thinking about this strategy?
See, quick commerce is generally beneficial to us. Our margins are higher in quick commerce because pricing is higher in quick commerce. Quick commerce generally is not a long tail business model, at least so far. It is the top brands in each category that does well. So quick commerce has been generally accretive to us. Our market shares in quick commerce are generally higher than they are in, let's say, regular e-commerce because there's no long tail. It's not, in that model. So quick commerce has generally been good for us only. And we welcome the fact that many e-commerce players are moving to quick commerce. We're very, very serious, very, very focused on quick commerce.
Understood. And then last and final question is on India standalone margins. It's in the lower band of our own estimates. Is this the bottom or can we see some margin deceleration in the coming quarter?
Sorry, I missed that first part, Sheila. Can you just repeat that again? Just the first part of it.
India EBITDA margins, how should we think about it going ahead?
I think, it may be round about this level, a little bit here, up and down. I don't know, for a quarter, maybe two quarters. So it may be in this between 24 and 25. It's hard to say exactly how much because palm oil prices are extremely volatile and we can't respond to it. But I can only say, and the reason I'm not committing is that, the easiest thing to do is to cut media to get a target EBITDA margin. That we don't want to do. We would rather drop EBITDA margin than cut media because we know that EBITDA margin comes back and then that media helps you in the long run on volume growth. That's why it's a bit hard. Otherwise, it's just a balancing number. If you have a target EBITDA margin to, reduce it at 11% ATL, it's relatively easy to cut to 3% ATL. But, we don't want to do that.
Fair point, Sudhir. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Before we take the next question, a reminder to participants that you may press star and one to join the question queue. The next question is from Jitendra Arora from ICICI Prudential Life Insurance. Please go ahead.
Hi. Two questions from my side. One on the hair salon. We have also some new format emerging in form of spray as well as some powders. Do we intend to launch these? Second, in terms of inventory, how would and this is across the value chain, number of days, how would a quick commerce differ from e-commerce from general trade?
In terms of inventory held by the various channels, is that the question?
Yeah, by the entire value chain, whether you are a distributor and then retailer, and finally, so across channel, how does the number of days of inventory change, and does it make our business more profitable in quick commerce?
So, listen, to answer your first question, if it was, I didn't hear it fully, but if it was a laundry strategy to enter powders and bars and all, that is not our strategy to enter highly penetrated categories.
I'm sorry, the first question was about hair colors in terms of other formats like and
yeah.
All, which are very
I mean, look, on hair color, actually, see our portfolio, while it, is actually, it's very clear that we have to move this category from powders to creme. That is the future. That is how most global countries are. We have a pretty large powder business and that is actually declining at 15-20%. That affects the growth numbers that you see. Actually, the creme part of the business is growing really well. It gets hit by the fact that, we have a Godrej powder, we have a Nupur, Mehendi, etc., which are slower parts. But, we are not looking at defending what is yesterday's categories. We are going to grow creme and our aggression is really on creme. And distribute for those consumers who want powder, etc., be there. So we don't advertise powders, etc. But over a period of time, we expect this country to move entirely from powders to creme. And we want to be the company at the forefront of that. As far as inventory on various channels goes, I'll have to revert to you. I know what it is in GT, which is typically GT carries about 20 days and our distributors carry 12, 13 days. So there's about 32 days in the overall channel in general trade. Let me ask Vishal to revert to you, because thanks for asking the question. I should have known the answer, but I don't know how much inventory Q-commerce carries for us. I know we tend to carry more inventory for modern trade because demand is more volatile. I don't know the exact numbers. We will revert to you with the exact numbers. But thanks for asking that question. I also should have anticipated that.
Sudhir, on hair color, my question was actually moving to more premium formats like Praise and all.
So we have to premiumize this market. So you're right. So we are at Creme. One of the things that we as a company have to do is to premiumize hair color. Right now, I must tell you that the bulk of the game is still to move from powders to Creme. So we have at least 5 to 10 years of that value driver remaining in India. But as we do that, we have to think about the future as well. Sorry, I missed your question. There was some disturbance in the line.
Thank you.
Does that answer your question? We don't have an answer for it. We have to do it. It is important but not urgent.
Yeah, no, but simply I was asking more because of the fact that in quick commerce, we've seen a lot of premium products taking off because of client kind of clientele they're targeting. And so that's why one can start at multiple fronts just waiting for it.
Agreed. Okay.
We move to the next question. Next question is from Percy Panthaki from IIFL Securities. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks for taking the follow-up question. I just wanted to understand from you how you're looking at the consolidated EBITDA growth for the second half. Like this quarter, you have done 8%. Would it be a fair target to sort of expect the same in second half? The reason why I ask this is that your base effect in second half is more adverse compared to what it is in first half. Is that like a normal seasonality and therefore the YOY growth should continue, or the YOY growth will dip given that the base effect is getting more adverse?
See, this quarter, which is Q3 last year in India, we had close to 29% EBITDA in our base, which is an exceptional, unusual quarter. So this particular quarter will have very poor EBITDAs in India. But the next quarter, which is Q4, we should get back to pretty good EBITDAs. Because I think the percentage EBITDAs may remain roughly where they are or go up a little bit, we hope, providing palm oil prices remain at this level and don't further inflate, which you never know. So if that happens, Q3 will be tough on IYA on EBITDA, but simply because of the base of India of 29%. Q4, if I'm not mistaken, we again fell to about 26.5 last year. And then I'm hoping by Q4 we start to see some sequential improvement in EBITDA, because we've taken one round of pricing. We hope that after Diwali, perhaps palm oil prices may soften, etc., etc. So I'm hoping Q4 is better.
Understood. Although my question was on the console EBITDA. Sudhir.
So I'm saying console EBITDA, we will have better margins in Q3. Generally, GOM does better because it has higher seasonality there. So I would say that this quarter, console EBITDA margins will be significantly lower than what it was in the previous quarter, which is Q3. Q4, it may be higher than. But between the two quarters, maybe in roundabout what we got in the first half, maybe a little less.
Got it.
It fades out between Q3 and Q4.
Okay. I also just wanted to understand on the import duty you mentioned. See, my understanding was that the import duty is on palm oil. It doesn't really affect PFAD, which is what you import.
See, we use CPS, which is crude palm stearine. Is a large component. Import duties on palm olein and on crude palm stearin firstly. So there's 20% incremental duty on CPS, which is a large part of the basket. What has happened as a consequence of the import duty on stearin, and I don't know fully why, but I can hazard a few guesses, is that palm oil has also moved up, not to the same extent that crude palm stearin has moved up, but it has also moved up, partly because I also read that imports in September of palm oil in India crashed. A lot of PFAD is a byproduct of CPS in India. So if you import less palm oil, PFAD falls. So while CPS inflation has been to the tune of just in the last 2 months, 25% sequentially, PFAD has also gone up by about 10% sequentially. So not the same as CPS, but has also gone up. So the overall basket has gone up pretty sharply in the last 2 months.
Okay, understood, understood. So with the price increases that you are taking, will you be able to offset the impact of this incremental inflation you have seen in the last 2-3 months, or we should see that margins can actually fall further versus the margins that you have actually clocked this quarter in soaps?
We are a bit of catch-up game. So even in the last quarter in Q2, you know, inflation had happened. We've been following there. We didn't entirely take it. We're taking it again this quarter. Next quarter, we may again take it. So I would say that it's really hard for me to give an exact number, but I would say that we are behind inflation, but I mean, I hope to be kind of as behind as in the past, not to widen that gap, unless there's a further increase in PFAD, then, you know, we can do a little bit, we can't do much about it.
Got it, got it. And lastly, just wanted to understand this rollout of distribution, both of incense stick as well as the new LV. I mean, at least in the direct distribution, which you are already tapping, why should it take 6 months to roll this out? I mean, this should be near immediate to roll out in the outlets where your salesperson is already going with just one or two more new SKUs. Hello? Hello?
The management line has dropped. Please stay connected. We're just reconnecting the line for management. One moment. We have the line for the management reconnected. Over to you, sir.
Yeah. Sir, I'll just repeat my question for you.
No, I heard the question, Percy. So LV, the time is not 6 months because of distribution. LV is 6 months because when you make a new product, the offtakes and all take some time. Like in the case of coils, it's not a distributive issue. In the case of incense sticks, somebody asked the question that the margins that we're giving to trade is a lot lower than what a local gives. So there is some kind of trade resistance, you know, and we have roughly covered half the outlets we want to cover with incense sticks. In a couple of, you know, you're selling it at 25% more premium to a local agarbatti. So it's not an easy thing that they're already keeping you, or they're keeping the category or selling the category. So it's a slightly slower burn than, let's say, LV will be.
Right. But even in LV, I understand it's not a distribution issue, but I really don't understand what is the hesitation from the trade to take the product, because it's the same good night.
There's no hesitation from the trade, Percy. There's no hesitation for the trade to take LV. There's no distributive problem on LV. I'm just saying that the consumer cycle for noticing a new product and then acting on it is not immediate.
No, so when the consumer runs out of the old LV, then
what buy the new LV.
Are you supplying both?
We're not supplying both.
So then, I mean, I understand that it will take that much amount of time, let's say a month or month and a half, till the old product gets over. But after that, he will have to buy the new LV. He has no other option, right? Unless he goes into some completely different brand altogether. No reason
to. Of course, they have to buy the new LV. But for new consumers to switch from other LVs to our LV, or for consumers to switch from agarbatti to our LV on the basis of advertising, will take some time, no?
Okay, that I got.
That's the problem. There's no distributive problem on LV. There is a slight distributive problem on incense sticks. That too I'm quite bullish about. I mean, we are basically meeting our plans and in fact exceeding it. But that is not, everybody is not willing to keep our incense stick just because we're the first legal incense stick in the market.
Right. Yeah, very clear. Got it. Thanks, Sudhir. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. The next question is from Rishi Modi from Marcellus Investment Managers. Please go ahead.
Yeah, I had a question on the taxation piece. So if I remember correctly, we still have a 200 crore tax benefit in this year, right, from the Himachal Pradesh factories. And from next year, we move to the 25% regime. Is that correct?
That's right. So this year, we are under the old regime and we are getting fiscal benefits. And next year, we intend to move to the new regime.
And on the subsidiaries piece, right, I see we have like 380 crores of deferred tax assets, 330 crores close of FY24. So are we going to be able to set off our profits against that, or it's there's some issue in terms of geographic rules or regulations which won't allow us to set it off?
No, so there are certain regions where we have a deferred tax benefit and we are utilizing some of those. It will take on the, it's on obviously that geography's profit. So it will take a while to use it, but we are using the deferred tax benefit in a few geographies.
So we can use the entire 330 crores that we have recognized over whatever years.
That's right. That's right.
So just like if I'm looking at the tax rate, is paying 30% tax rate right now in the P&L at least. So, like, I just wanted to understand. I was under the impression that we normally used to pay around the 20-24% mark. Jumped up to 30. So just, is it like we're going to set it off in the second half of the year or?
On the tax rate, you know, last year effective tax rate was around 29%. This year we're guided that we move up by around 100 bits. So we've come to 30 in line with the guidance we gave on the in the investor meet. And next year we expect this to go down when we move on to the new tax regime. So we should see a reduction of around 350 to 400 bips next year. Having said that, while the effective tax rate is 30%, a real cash tax rate is much lower. Yeah, so that's more closer to around I would say give or take that will be more like 18-19%. So there is a huge benefit on a cash tax which we are getting. But obviously from an accounting perspective, we have to account it at a higher rate.
Okay. Got it. All right. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from Kunal Vora from BNP Paribas. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Thanks. How should we look at Africa and LATAM revenue growth from here? LATAM especially was strong this quarter. Anything exceptional there?
No, I mean, actually, you want to answer that?
So I think LATAM this quarter we had some good innovations in the market, and hence, obviously, the growth have been very, very strong. So we have launched a new personal insect, a personal repellent. We've got a strong number which we did as we did a loading in on the sunscreen. So we've genuinely had a good number in LATAM, but it won't be sustaining. These kind of underlying volume growth won't sustain for the full year.
Yeah, I mean, look, it won't sustain 50% and all, but I'm going to LATAM next month. But the kind of inflation that consumers were seeing in the past seems to have reduced. So there seems to be more stability in Argentina in particular. And we have been launching some, you know, organically some new categories every year. So actually, the Argentina business, you know, if this macroeconomic stabilizes, may be quite a jewel business because our portfolio is a good portfolio, providing currency is stable and, you know, we're able to take out money, which we're still not able to do. That business may surprise us in the next few years if things are going the way they are.
How are you looking at Africa in the second half?
So Africa, you know, even last quarter we had guided that some of the short-term actions we need to take, and that will be like 2 to 3 quarters. Fundamentally, there is no issue in terms of offtake or market share from a relative performance point of view, but we are taking actions on downstocking in the trade, and that will kind of continue for pretty much Q3 for sure. Hopefully by Q4 we will be back into the positive territory.
Understood. Second, on the new LV, are you looking at different advertisements? Do you think the current head of like lasting 2 hours of power tools fully communicates the effectiveness, or would you like have a clear messaging that this is more effective to the consumer?
Yeah, I mean, look, you know, these are all ways of saying it's more effective. These are well-tested communications, and generally, if you go and tell people, you know, I'm more effective, I'm 3x more powerful, you know, they've heard these things. It's not the first time they're hearing this on TV. So we have to always find creative ways in which we communicate efficacy. In fact, one of the brand managers came and last week showed me an ad where he went to a shop and a shopkeeper was telling him that, you know, consumers are saying they don't want the old LV, they want the LV where the electricity lasts. It works after the electricity goes off. So I actually think it's quite a creative and catchy way of saying it's more powerful rather than saying it's 2x more powerful. So that becomes a little bit like boy cried wolf, you know, in our kind of business.
But can this reduce the usage? I mean, can the Indian consumer who might have been using for
No, this is just a metaphor. You know, these are all metaphors for effectiveness. It's just a different way of saying 2x more powerful. It's not to say that, you know, switch it off when the electricity and switch it. And people don't use it like that. They just, the way they decode communication like this is, if it can last for 2 hours after the electricity goes off, it must be a lot more powerful. That's how they decode these messages.
Understood, understood. Okay. And just lastly, can you provide size of liquid detergent, hair color, hair care? What will be the approximate revenue from there?
I don't think we give that number, to be honest. Maybe at the end of the year, we'll give you some indication. But I don't think that is a number that we share. No, we only share it at personal care and home care levels.
Understood. Okay. That's it from me. Thank you.
Thanks, Manan.
Thank you. A reminder to participants that you may press star and one to ask questions. The next question is from Saurabh Jain from HDFC Life Insurance Company. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for the opportunity. Just wanted to touch on Indonesia margins. So basically, I think the aspiration was to take it to mid-20s. So we were there for the last two quarters, but this quarter again, we are around 19%. So any comments on that? What is causing that drop QOQ margins?
So, you know, this quarter has been, there have been some relative phasing of certain spends, and hence it's not the margin level which fundamentally we are operating in this year. So you will see the full year margins in Indonesia this year will be more than what the Q2 margins are. We are on a margin improvement journey and we should be seeing an improvement in margin this year.
Okay. And second one is, can you just call out the revenues from the Raymond consumer portfolio this quarter?
I think we're not, what we'll do on Raymond's is, you know, we will give you at the end of the year a consolidated view on the performance because, you know, we don't want to give too many subcategory level pieces of data now. But we'll, I mean, suffice it to say that we think that this has great potential. It is value accretive. We certainly think we've created value in the last 1.5 years. It's a little bit lower than what we would have wanted to do. We'll give you the exact numbers at the end of the year.
But is it fair to assume that it will be more than 10% because you have reported both volume on deodorant and facial wellness to be in double digit?
Yeah, I mean, it is double digit volume growth. Generally, yes. I'm saying we're growing well only. It's a growth accretive part of our business, not growth dilutive.
Okay. Thanks, sir. Yeah, that's it for my side.
Thank you very much. In the interest of time, we'll have to take that as the last question. I would now like to hand the conference back to the management team for closing comments.
Thank you everyone for attending the call. We hope we have been able to answer all queries. Please reach out to us on our investor relations contact details for any further queries you have. Thank you and good night.
Thank you very much. On behalf of Godrej Consumer Products Limited, that concludes the conference. Thank you for joining us, ladies and gentlemen. You may now disconnect your lines.